Well, we're now in week three of our series on trying to stop judging other people. I say trying because it's really a sneaky sin, isn't it? Judging other people. It's a sin that just seems to creep into our minds and corrupt our hearts pretty much on a daily basis. Everyone judges and everyone is judged by others. It's the most common failing that I hear in the confessional. So in this series, we decided to look at what we can do to break this bad habit. And 2 weeks ago, we started by making an important distinction. We said that it's okay to make factual determinations about certain situations. And it's also okay to make judgments about other people's behavior. It's not wrong. The human brain is wired to come to conclusions quickly based on the information available to us. And we have every right to make moral assessments about certain behaviors that we observe. Where we get into trouble when we start judging people is when we go beyond that and we actually condemn the person. And in fact, their entire character based on what we observe, based on that behavior that we observe. And we get into trouble with that because we're not sure about all the facts, are we? We're limited human beings. There's no way we can understand all the facts and circumstances involved in that person's decision to behave in a certain way. And worse yet, we don't know what we don't know. Only God knows all the facts and circumstances, and that's why only God can judge. But in the first episode, we did say that it's important to discuss the situation with the other person so that you can get a better understanding of the facts. And when you come to understand their point of view, what they were thinking at the time, what they were going through at the time, then you're far less likely to judge them, even if you may still disagree with the behavior. And so, in that first episode, we also offered you a few tips about how to confront someone in a healthy and productive way. Then last week, we looked at another common reason that we tend to judge people. We focused on forgiveness as another way of becoming less judgmental, because we often judge others because we find it difficult to forgive rude, inconsiderate, thoughtless, and hurtful conduct. But when we're able to find some compassion in our hearts for even the person who hurt us or another loved one, someone we love, if we can find compassion for that person, for the one who offended us, well, then you can begin to start forgiving them. And if you can forgive them, then you'll curb your desire to find fault with their behavior. You'll become less judgmental of them. Today, we're going to look at another common reason that some of us can be judgy sometimes. It's a deep-seated negative emotion that most of us suffer from to some extent. It strikes people of all ages and walks of life, and it's very, very common. In fact, it's so common that God decided to make it not one, but two of the top 10 commandments. They're at the end of the list, but by no means are they least important. Here are those two commandments. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. See, to covet something means to desire it, which makes you jealous or envious of that other person. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, how jealousy and envy can lead us into judging other people. Now, according to modern day experts, there's actually a difference between jealousy and envy. To be envious means to long for what the other person has, and even to be unhappy and frustrated because you don't have what they have. Envy is the painful feeling of wanting what someone else has. If you envy someone, you basically begrudge them their accomplishments and their success. For instance, you might be envious that someone is smarter than you, or more popular than you, or better looking than you. At least you may think so. You could be envious of their nice home or expensive car or high-paying job. The Greek philosopher Aristotle put it this way: envy is the pain caused by the good fortune of other people. But jealousy is different. Jealousy is the fear of losing what you already have to someone else. If you're jealous, you feel threatened by a third person taking away what you have. Say, for instance, your best friend starts spending more time with someone else. You might feel jealous over that new relationship. Now, for the purpose of this message, I'm just going to use those terms interchangeably because they're really both destructive emotions that end up leading us or prompting us to make unfair judgments about others. And the Bible contains some strong warnings about both being envious and jealous, because they both can lead to really bad results. For example, St. James says, "Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." That doesn't sound good, does it? The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament says, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." Also not good. And then St. Paul warns that while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? In other words, in an unspiritual way. And then many of you have probably been to a wedding. You've probably heard this very beautiful passage. Paul writes about it in the first letter to the Corinthians, where he writes this definition of love, right? And among the definitions, among the qualities of true love, he says very clearly, love does not envy, it is not jealous. And one of the most accurate quotes I've ever come across on jealousy and envy is by the late humorist Harold Coffin, who said, "Envy is the art of counting other people's blessings instead of your own." So true, isn't it? Both jealousy and envy come from the tendency to compare ourselves and our situation with other people. We think other people have it better than we do. And the invention of social media has caused a dramatic increase in what experts call a compare and despair phenomenon, right? You're at home, you're relaxing, you're having a good time, or whatever, you're at work, you're in a perfectly good mood, and then you pull up Facebook, and all you see are posed pictures and simulated images of happiness. Everybody looks happy, everybody looks like a winner, they're on the beach somewhere, they're having a great time, and it makes you feel envious and less than. Social media has contributed to the record levels of depression and anxiety we currently are experiencing in our society. And for everyone, those levels are highly elevated, but for teens especially, they are off the charts. Envy and jealousy can grow like a cancer and become so profound that you may actually find yourself wishing misfortune upon the other person, kind of like giving them the old evil eye, and then taking great pleasure if that misfortune actually happens to them. It's so easy to become angry with people we're envious of or jealous of, and that anger inevitably leads to feelings of resentment that end up fueling a desire to tear the other person down by judging them. Judging the other person we are jealous or envious somehow seems to balance the scales in our minds. Denigrating the other person, either through gossip or harsh judgments, makes us feel better about ourselves and our lives. But it's short-lived, and it lasts only for a moment, and then comes the guilt And then we feel worse about ourselves, and the cycle begins again. I have to tell you, I know of what I speak, because I confess to you that I can sometimes, occasionally, every once in a while, maybe once in a blue moon, feel jealous or envious of other priests. If you really want to get under my skin, just come up to me after Mass one day and say, "Hey, Father, do you know that priest up there, up the road at, you know, St. Elsewhere? Father so-and-so? Isn't he just amazing? He has so many incredible gifts. You could really learn a thing or two from him. He's got, you know, thousands of followers on his YouTube channel, and his social media just blows up every time he posts something. Isn't that great?" I say through gritted teeth. And then the coup de grace, the cherry on top of the jealousy cake that they just served me, the final blow is when they say, "Oh, and you know, Father so-and-so, he can just say so much in his homilies in such little time." Don't you think? "Oh, of course, yes, he's wonderful," I say. "He's absolutely wonderful." And then I walk away seething with envy. And then, of course, I judge Father so-and-so, because of course I know Father so-and-so, and I dredge up in my mind any negative quality that I can think of that makes me feel better in the moment. You see, we judge because we are jealous. We judge because we are jealous. We give ourselves permission to harshly evaluate others because we are secretly envious of them. Take a look at the gospel story today. It's a really good example. Jesus offers a parable about a landowner who hired a team of laborers to work in his vineyard for the day. Now, the going rate for a day's work was a Roman silver coin called a denarius. Wages had to be paid out at the end of the day because the Torah, the law of Moses, required that hired help be given their earnings by sundown at the end of each workday. So the landowner in the story first goes out at dawn to hire the workers. That's what everybody did. And hiring day laborers was of common practice back then in that agricultural economy. But then, after that, the landowner does something very strange. He deviates from the normal practice. Going out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." And so they went off. And then he did the same thing at noon, and then at 3 o'clock, and then at 5 o'clock, just 1 hour before quitting time. This was highly unusual. So when it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." So the field hands who had been hired last stepped up first, expecting to receive a fraction of the daily wage, right? After all, the owner had promised to pay them what was just, which typically would mean a prorated share of the daily wage, depending on how many hours they worked, right? But they received the full daily wage. So when those hired first, you know, at sunrise, they thought, when they came, they thought they would receive more. If 1 hour of work earns you a silver coin, shouldn't 12 hours of work earn you 12 coins? But on the other hand, they had agreed to work the whole day for the usual daily rate, which was 1 coin, so justice was served. The landowner was not obligated to pay the workers hired at dawn more, nor was he required to pay the workers hired later in the day less. He did exactly what he promised to do. But of course, those who were hired first thought that the landowner was being unfair, and they started grumbling. The landowner took one of those workers aside and he said, "My friend, I'm not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do with my money as I wish?" And then comes the punchline. And the moral of the whole story, at least for our purposes today, the landowner says to the disgruntled worker, "Are you envious because I am generous?" In Greek, the text literally reads, "Or is your eye evil because I am good?" The idiom "evil eye" refers to someone who is filled with envy. The workers hired early in the day were upset at the good fortune of those hired later. The overarching lesson is really clear. Jealousy and envy are not right, because when you're jealous or envious of others, it treats God's extravagant generosity with contempt. And it rejects his kindness because we think we somehow deserve more than the other guy, or at least as much. If you want to stop judging other people, you got to stop being jealous of them and stop being envious of what they have. And I know that's really hard. But here are a few tips that you might want to consider to try to get over being jealous or envious of other people. Again, these are obvious, but I think they're worth repeating. First and foremost, if you want to stop being envious, whenever those negative feelings start to surface, recognize, become aware of them, and then recognize that they come from a dark place. They are nothing but your illicit desires that want to rob you of your joy. They want to rob you of your joy by convincing you that you are less than others, that you are less important than others. Recognize that deception and affirmatively choose joy instead. Second, work on being happy for the other person and give thanks to God for their good fortune. The next time a coworker of yours gets a promotion at work and you didn't, the next time someone reaches their fitness goal by losing some weight while you're still struggling, the next time a friend finds true love even though you're still looking, try doing a happy dance for them. Become a cheerleader for others. And you know, at first, you may have to fake it. But that old saying, fake it till you make it, it's so true, because after a while, it will become a habit of being happy for other people. And it will make them and you feel great. Number three, change your life if you need to. Sometimes jealousy and envy can be indications that there's something about your life that really you could improve, something you might have control over. Say, for instance, you're always going over to your friend's house and you're jealous of how their house looks, right? Everything's perfect, everything's neat and clean, everything's in the right place, while your house is, well, kind of a wreck. If you're jealous of something like that, maybe consider doing something about it. Maybe tidying up your own home and making things look better. As the old saying goes, when the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, start watering your own lawn. And then lastly, number four, channel gratefulness. When you start to feel envious of someone, stop. Stop right there and start counting your blessings. Count your blessings instead of the other person's, and trust in God's plan for your life. For example, if you're grumbling over the fact that a friend's spouse is more thoughtful than yours, or a friend's children end up being more successful than yours, at least in your estimation, recognize that God has a plan for every person's life. Your plan is not the same as that other person's plan, the person you're jealous or envious of. God has a plan for your life, and it is unique and it is beautiful, and you are getting everything that God wants you to have to fulfill that beautiful life. You are where you are, and you are where you are supposed to be. The Bible says, "Naked I came forth from my mother's womb, and naked shall I go back again. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Tend to your own life, and where you can, cultivate it and make it better. Now, of course, all these steps are much easier for me to say than to do, and they're going to take some practice and a whole lot of God's grace. And I know this because, you know, I talked about forgiveness last week, and honestly, forgiving people is not something I struggle with, at least most of the time. There have been exceptions, but I forgive pretty easily. But I do struggle with jealousy and envy. I really do. And so if you're kind of like me, if that's your pain pocket, as they say, try these steps. Try these steps and pray for God's grace. Because honestly, it's so much more healthy and positive and uplifting to count your own blessings instead of those given to someone else.